From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 24th day of October, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, USDA has decided to use the average crop prices for 2007 and 2008 to determine payouts for the new acre program. It isn't clear that the OMB will go along with the request. And USDA FDA plans to open overseas offices in China and India. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then we'll hear how University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good calculates the value of corn to end users. He, by the way, will be our guest on this weekend's edition of Commodity Week. But you'll hear him today on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, that's public radio, from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the wheat pit finished December at 516 and a quarter, down 6 3/4. March at 534 and 3/4, 7 1/4 lower, and May soft red winter wheat at $5.47.5. 8 cents lower on the day. December corn at 372 3/4, down 17.5. The March contract, 388 3/4, down 17.5 as well. And May corn futures were down 17 3/4, $3.99.5. The settlement price, July at 409 3/4, down 17 1/4. November soybeans, 863 3/4, down 20 3/4. January at 867, 21.5 cents lower. And the March at 875, down 21.5. May futures in the bean pit at $8.84, down 21 1/2. December bean meal at $268.30, down 70 cents. December bean oil for the day at $31.47, down $1.35. October live cattle futures over at the Mercantile Exchange live livestock side, $87.85, down $1.90 for the day. CME Group's December contract at $87.55, $2.32.5 lower for the live cattle. October feeder cattle, 96.15, down 162.5. November's at 93.82.5, $2.95 a hundredweight lower. December lean hogs, 58.50, up 57.5. The Feb's at 63.85, down 32.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby December crude oil at $64.75 a barrel, down $3.09. January at $64.10, down $4.14. November ethanol, $1.68, 2 cents lower for the day. December contract at $165.02, or 2 cents, is 4 3/10 lower. November natural gas at $6.24 3/10, 17 6/10 lower. The RBOB gasoline at $1.47 9/10, 9 8/10 lower. November heating oil, diesel fuel, $1.95 6/10 as the final trade for the day, or last trade for the day, down 7 3/10 on the day. November propane at 96 7/10 cents is up 1.7 cents for the day. Gold futures on the day at $729.10, $15.80 higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 83.93. These are 15-minute delayed. It's down 298, but I think it's probably much closer to 125 lower at this time. U.S. dollar trading at 86.48. is up 1.57 on the afternoon, and the CRB index at 257.40 is down 7.1 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from our own Daniel Pounder. He says tonight across the two-state region should be clear, periods of light rain. Lows tonight will range from 40 to 45. Tomorrow in Illinois, cloudy, a few showers possible in the morning. In Indiana, cloudy with periods of light rain showers. Highs tomorrow will range from 53 in the north to 62. In the deep south, the extended forecast says scattered light showers will hang on through the day Saturday before moving off to the east by Saturday evening. Dry weather will move in on Sunday, and dry weather will likely hold for about a week or so. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
WILL programs are made possible by the iCorn.com Seeds of Knowledge Video Scholarship Contest. Farmers nominate students who make a 90-second video and compete for a share of $30,000 in college scholarships from iCorn.com. More information is available online at iCorn.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, joined us. Hi, Mike. How you doing today?
Hey there, Todd.
Well, tell me about this marketplace at this time here. Are you getting sleep at night yet?
Not yet, especially last night. We got about an hour and a half last night. So, you know, the grain trade today closed with a buy signal in the dollar chart, Todd, and that took the Dow down about 500 plus. And that really softened us up. You know, we're going to be down right about 30 cents in both corn and beans for the week, about 50 cents in the wheat for the week. One good thing that's happened that maybe sets us up for a little bit better price action for Sunday night is the Dow's cut those losses in half because the bond market starting to sell off, and now the dollar starting to relieve, get some pressure and see some longs liquidate, maybe relieve some of the upside tolerances there. And maybe that'll set us up for a better overnight trade Sunday night. I guess the weirdest thing about it was, even with the prices down as hard as they were today, in beans and wheat especially, we would classify today as a moral victory given what the trade was looking at 5 and 6 o'clock this morning.
Why?
Well, because when the Russians and their stock exchange collapsed and they said they were going to shut it down until October 28th, and then the United Kingdom came out with their new GDP numbers, which is about 0.3% for the third quarter. Those things hit the dollar very hard, hit the bonds very hard. They skyrocketed up probably around 3:30, 4 o'clock this morning. And then the Nikkei Stock Exchange took that with the yen blasting off. The Nikkei went down 10%, and the yen's now sitting at a 13-year high against the dollar. Those things all worked last night to where the Dow futures and the S&P futures were lock limit down coming into this morning, and everybody this morning that I talked to and everybody in the media was sitting there saying, when the real markets open, the real equities markets open, there's circuit breakers, but there's no limits, and we don't know how bad this could be. So I think that's why we would call it a moral victory, because the grains actually had very strong positive trade in beans and even in wheat at times today. I checked with a couple different sources up in Chicago. No one was expecting that. And that's the beneficial silver lining today that I can report.
Well, why do you suppose that happened? I mean, I saw a note from Dave earlier in the day asking me about some of this, and I was thinking, but the global market should be chasing the U.S. market, and if we didn't collapse, even if they look like they're having a rough night, they're just having a rough night. And I wasn't particularly worried, but it appears that all of the trade was really on pins and needles. Is that just because you've been beat up so much in the last month?
I think that's right, and I think all this week we've seen rallies sold, and everything we've had reported to us is rallies are being sold by major hedge funds, and there's groups of people out there in the hedge fund industry that are expecting 30 to 50% of the current hedge funds to no longer be in business in a few months. And so the talk on the street is, look, we don't know where the downside takes us. And when the government keeps stepping in and changes the rules and keeps supporting different avenues of the financial markets, like today after the close in grains, the Fed came out and said, we may have to come in and actually buy insurance companies or take a physical role and secure and you know, purchase some stocks in some insurance companies. That just bleeds more fear and breeds more fear into the markets, and I think that's where everybody was so negative. I think for me personally, it goes back to the dollar. If the dollar keeps going up and bonds keep going up, that is a classic example that the market is fearful. They think that they have to be in the U.S. Government assets or securities or debt instruments, because that's the only safe place to be, and as long as that's going on, they're expecting a severe recession or financial markets to be worse and worse and worse. I haven't heard anybody say yet, in the big, large-brained economists and the people that really have been doing this a long time, I haven't heard anybody say that they see any foreseeable goodness in the world growth for at least a quarter, maybe even two. So I think that's why the fear was so prevalent today, is because it sounded a lot like and it smelled a lot like 1997 when Russia and Turkey and Argentina all got sick and they led the Asians down.
But doesn't a stronger U.S. dollar bode well for us over the, not particularly for the agricultural market because it depends so much on the export area, but doesn't it bode better for the economy rather than worse?
I tell you what it does bode well for is it's caused a deflationary market here. We've got freight rates that are at a six-year low. We've got energy prices that are half of what they were 4 or 5 weeks ago. We've got raw material and commodity prices half of what they were 4 or 5 weeks ago. That says we don't have to worry about as much inflationary pressures. The Europeans and Asians don't have to worry as much, still a little bit, though, but not as much as they did 4 weeks ago. And the other thing it does, and the Asians, I think, are key in this, why is the yen going up and why is the Japanese stock market going down so hard? It's because they're so export-driven, and when the yen is strong, it hurts their GDP. Now, for us, because we mainly import and because most of Asia, or at least China and the Southeastern Asian rim, send so many of their goods over to us, a stronger dollar is actually going to help them more than it hurts them, not just from a cost and raw material standpoint, like I just said, but also from a standpoint of possibly bringing our exports up. So now the question is, have we done a lot of GDP demand and employment destruction here in the United States that we can't afford to buy those cheaper goods from Asia? If we can still afford to buy those cheaper goods, then we should be able to pull Europe and Asia out of the hopper. And the guys and the traders that are buying the dollar probably have it right now.
And their expectation is that we're able to do that, and we haven't destroyed enough jobs yet in the U.S. to worry terribly about that.
That's exactly right. And I think one of the best things that happened today was the September U.S. home resale number was much better than average guesses. And it wasn't a great number, but it was much better than average guesses. And it said the price in housing going down and the number of houses up for sale because of foreclosure, at least that's bringing some demand back to the market. So I guess that's how I see the grains, Todd, is it's kind of a market where you've got a very strong Asian, several Asian economies that you did not have back in the mid-90s. They don't have the real estate bubble, they don't have the financial bubble, and they've got reserves. They aren't debtor nations right now like they were in the mid-90s, so you've got that. And I guess the analogy I used this morning, I'll repeat, is we can't see anything bullish in the markets right now. 4 months ago, we couldn't see anything bearish. And so I think you've got a psychological extreme, and given our lower freight rates, given our lower energy prices, given those lower commodity prices, if we don't see too much more deflation, then the demand should come back in because it's a lot cheaper to buy stuff now.
Let's switch things around, and we don't have a lot of time left.
Sure.
But I want you to address the ethanol industry at this time, which looks to me like it's in some peril.
It is, and I think it goes back to reports and even comments by the Secretary of Agriculture at a conference last week that some ethanol companies were possibly speculating. I do not know that for a fact, but that there's rumors that some ethanol companies were speculating. I think it goes back to if the ethanol companies have good balance sheets and they were doing true bona fide hedging, that then given no changes in their subsidy, they should be able to weather the storm because their costs are much lower in natural gas, much lower in corn, and the RFS requirement RFA requirement is still very, very high, and that's not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, I suppose speculating could mean that they bought production but didn't bother to hedge it back out in the other direction.
That's how I'm taking it as well.
Okay, thanks much.
Okay, Todd, have a good weekend.
You too. That's Mike Zuzlo with Risk Management Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joining us here on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learnard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Learnard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says he'll ask the Office of Management and Budget to use crop prices for 2007 and 2008 as one component for determining payments under the new average crop revenue program. Earlier, there was talk that USDA would use 2006 and 2007, a decision that would result in lower potential payments to producers not only next year, but for the entire five-year run of the 2008 Farm Bill. OMB may not go along, however. It's facing a federal budget deficit approaching $1 trillion. The Food and Drug Administration says it is planning to open overseas offices in several key countries by the end of the year and to give newly hired staffers the duty of ensuring the safety of imported drugs, medical devices, and food. Among the countries targeted are China and India, with additional staff also likely dedicated to Europe and Latin America. A conflict between U.S. governmental agencies is making it impossible for U.S. food countries to import the refined sugar they need. USDA wants to boost imports of refined white sugar in the wake of a plant explosion at a key sugar refiner in Georgia, but U.S. Customs says it won't go along and has notified USDA that, quote, its special instructions are hereby rescinded and ports are to process entries without regard to container size or user quality. That could dump additional unwanted raw sugar on the U.S. market and force USDA to buy it if it competes with domestic supplies at already low prices. A poll from the nonpartisan Center for Rural Strategies says Barack Obama and John McCain are running neck and neck for rural votes in 13 key swing states. Obama is supported by 46% and McCain 45% of likely rural voters. A month ago, McCain led in the poll 51% to 41%. And Smithfield Foods has completed its sale of its beef business to JBS SA from Brazil. The deal is worth $565 million. Signed off by federal regulators, the deal pairs the nation's third largest and fifth largest beef producers. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. It airs on radio stations across the state of Illinois. WILL airs it at 6 o'clock a.m. Saturday morning. That's a brand new time. And historically at 11:30 a.m. Saturday mornings. The big 15:20 a.m. WHOW out of Clinton airs the program from 8 to 8:30 on Saturdays. And WTIM 97.3 FM carries Commodity Week from 9:30 to 10 o'clock Saturday morning. Commodity Week airs on WKEI as well out of Kewaunee. That's 1450 a.m. and 104.3 FM. At 7:30 a.m., Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's happening in the world of agricultural markets. Our guest this week is University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. We'll get a preview of what he'll have to talk about right now. Darrell says that corn producers have to go on the defensive as it relates to pricing this year's crop. I'll have more on the value of corn to end users and how farmers can use those numbers to calculate good sales opportunities. The turn lower in the global economy should put farmers on the defensive as it relates to pricing out their corn harvest. University of Illinois Extension ag economist Darrell Good says one way to do this is to figure out the value of corn to the end user. He uses the ethanol market as an example. About a third of the corn crop is consumed domestically by the ethanol industry. Good says the first step is to figure out the break-even price of corn to the end user.
And you can do that on the ethanol side by working through various scenarios on crude oil prices, implications for gasoline prices, implications for ethanol, and then what that means for break-even. If you're looking at $80 a barrel of crude oil, it says that corn is probably worth in the high $3s to low $4 range. But you drop that down to $70, which is closer to where we are now, then corn is worth about maybe $3.50 to the ethanol producer.
I'll repeat that. At $80 a barrel for crude oil, corn's worth about $4 a bushel. When crude trades at $70, corn's worth about $3.50 to the ethanol producer.
Now, you can do the same thing on the livestock side. At $50 hogs, what can those producers afford to pay for corn? Again, to cover all costs, you get a number somewhere in the low $4 range. So we think value is somewhere on corn in the high threes to $4 range, maybe a bit lower if crude oil stays at $70. And then we would work forward from there saying soybeans would have to be priced competitively with corn, say a ratio of 2.3 to 1. So $4 corn means basically a little over $9 soybeans.
About 40% of the corn crop goes to feed livestock. So that is the way the Illinois Ag Economist figures value. Sounds easy enough. But the difficulty comes in trying to forecast the price of crude oil and the price of hogs. USDA, in its October reports, forecast the season's average cash price for corn would range between $4.20 and $5.20 a bushel, soybeans from $9.60 to $11.10. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company's 10 grain elevators across the state of Illinois joins us from Ludlow this afternoon. Hi, Bruce. How are you today?
Great.
Hey, you know, I haven't asked anybody yet, but I know this has probably been a problem, at least with some fields and in some areas, but we haven't had a hard freeze, and that tells me that since it's been wet, there's probably disease problems that's coming in some of the corn. Have you seen it?
We have seen some cob rot in corn, generally not bad enough to be discountable. I have heard some areas, maybe over towards Springfield, where there's been some discountable levels of cob rot out there. Soybeans, we've seen there ever so often we get some really ugly-looking beans from fields where the corner was underwater. Again, usually not much. Green beans, wrinkly beans, smelly beans, just about everything there.
All right.
Thank goodness they're small areas.
All right. Well, then turn your attention to the cash market. Tell me how it's been holding up over the last week.
The basis side has been holding up pretty well. The market is still wanting some grain. China went in and did raise their support prices. That puts U.S. beans competitive. Ocean freight, the bottom's dropped out of ocean freight. It's down like 90% since early this year. That's indicative of not a whole lot of trade going on, but what that also does is push the export business that we are doing to the Gulf rather than Portland, and that's good for our area.
And so we're staying strong, and then have you been watching what's been happening with barge freight as well? Is that the same?
Barge freight had been very strong. It had backed off. It was into the 525, 550 area at Peoria. That's up a little bit from the last day or two, but it has been under pressure from a month ago, and I think that's also indicative of just not a whole lot of cash moving.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at 344 on nearby corn and 829 on soybeans.
Thanks much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoons in just 2 minutes. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the weekend and next week across the Midwest. Steve Hilberg of NOAA's Midwestern Regional Climate Center will join us. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The director of Springfield's Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum has been placed on leave after he was accused of shoplifting. Richard Beard was suspended after word of an August incident where employees at a Target store in Springfield claimed he tried to steal a $40 DVD set. Beard had pleaded guilty to shoplifting at a Springfield department store in October of 2006, not long after he was hired to head the museum, but the incident did not attract public attention. Unemployment is up in all 12 of Illinois' metropolitan areas. Rockford had the highest unemployment rate at 8.8% last month, while Kankakee-Bradley was second with 8.5%. Danville came in at 8.4%. Champaign-Urbana registered a jobless rate of 5.7%, up more than a percentage point from last year. The city of Champaign is warning of tougher budget times ahead. The city finance department's five-year financial plan expects lower revenue because of the economic slowdown next year and a potential deficit of between $800,000 and $2 million at current spending levels. The city council plans to study the report Tuesday night. Financial services manager Renata Matusova says departments will be asked for potential savings measures, but this year's budget is not affected. Friends and family members say the pilot whose medical helicopter crashed near Aurora, Illinois last week was a decorated veteran and an energetic family man who loved to laugh. The funeral service for 69-year-old Del Waugh took place yesterday at the Indiana War Memorial in Indianapolis. Urbana's public works director says the addition of bike lanes in Philo Road's business district should help not just bikes and pedestrians, but help enforce the 30-mile-an-hour speed limit for motorists. Bill Gray made his comments after a ribbon cutting this morning. They reduced Philo to three lanes of traffic in that area with a pedestrian crossing in the center. But not all comments are positive. The manager of a gas station in the business district says customers feel the bike lanes are too dangerous with the motorists pulling in. He says the city should have widened the sidewalks instead, since bicyclists are ignoring the new lanes anyway. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. Time to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. On the line with us this afternoon, Steve Hilberg. He's the director of NOAA's Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about weather for the weekend.
Well, looks like we're done with the nice balmy weather we had the first couple weeks of the month, and we are in for some colder weather coming up. Tomorrow probably won't be too bad in relative terms. It'll be cool and cloudy as this strong low-pressure system and rather slow-moving one to the west comes through. But by Sunday, there'll be a definite change in the air. Looks like we'll be blustery, much colder, and that should stick with us through the first half of next week.
I'll bet farmers are off their combines. They may be headed into high school football games for the evening. What about tonight across Illinois and Indiana?
Yeah, it'll be a chilly one. There is some scattered rain showers on radar right now. Nothing really terrible. It's a little breezy out there, so it will not be the most comfortable weather out there, but it will be pretty much typical fall football weather. Rainfall was pretty good across most of Illinois last night. We had a core of 1.5 to 2 inches over south central Illinois, generally between I-70, I-64 in that area, with many areas getting from a half inch to an inch, and so that will slow things down. The good part is later this weekend we'll get some winds, which will help with drying a bit, but it'll be rather cool, and until maybe Monday or so we won't get a whole lot in the way of sunshine either, so looks like it could be a couple days before they can get back out in the field.
And then once we get past Monday, does the sun shine, and do we get heat, or is it sunshine and cool?
It'll be sunshine and cool. I think that probably Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday will be the coldest days of the week. I think probably, as Scott's been mentioning all day, we'll see the growing season end the early half of this week for most of Illinois and Indiana. As temperatures get down to the 30s and 20s even. Probably right now, I think maybe Tuesday and Wednesday could be our coldest mornings as high pressure, the center of the high moves over us. But then after Wednesday, it's going to slide east. We'll get into southerly flow, and things should warm up nicely for the end of next week and next weekend. So we've got a few days of pretty blustery cold weather to go through, and then we should get some relief and some pleasant fall weather.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, I don't think so. We've been pretty lucky with the rain. We've got almost our normal for the month, but it's been spread out over only a couple of days. So hopefully, like I said, we'll get back in the fields by the middle of next week.
Thanks much, Steve.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Be sure to visit our website if you get the opportunity. You can listen to Commodity Week. We'll record that at 4:30 this afternoon, and it'll be posted to the website at www. WILLAG.org by about 6 o'clock today. Our guest on Commodity Week is Daryl Good, U of I Ag Economist. Steve Schilling, Strategic Farm Marketing, will be a panelist, along with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities and Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois. They'll be all here at the studio today, and we look forward to talking to them. For Commodity Week, visit us online at willag.org.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.